Our scripture passage today is from Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. So I invite you to open up your Bibles or your little digital Bibles in your pocket. However you access God's word, let's open it up and invite God to speak to us as Dayton comes and reads the scripture for us this morning.
Mark 4, verses 1 through 20. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it on the lake, while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky places, but when it did not have much soil, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked about the parables. He told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they may turn and be forgiven." Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path, and the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown."
Meredith was a waitress. She worked at the Greasy Spoon restaurant that was about a half mile down the street from Apple Valley Community Church. She had been working the Sunday shift there for many, many years, even though she never really attended the church, didn't even know whether she wanted to. Religion hasn't really been her thing. But because she worked the Sunday shift, and because many of the members of the church would come to the diner right after the service was over, Meredith actually knew just about everything that was going on in the life of the church, probably better than the elders, probably better even than the pastor, because she would know from how the people acted as they were coming through the doors how Sunday had gone. Some Sundays, it's kind of ho-hum, every day, just another regular day. Maybe the pastor wasn't particularly inspired, maybe the congregation wasn't particularly receptive, but she would know those days because people would come in, they'd sit with the regular people in their regular booths, and they'd order the usual. Some weeks, people would come in and they were hot and bothered about something. She was amazed that people could get as upset about church as people sometimes do. So you'd hear people grumbling in the booths and, "I'm not going back there for nothing unless he changes something about that or whatever." And so she just had a sense. She just had a sense of, you know, how Apple Valley Community Church was doing just by what was happening in the booths. Now, In this particular diner with all the different booths, if you were sitting in one booth, you really couldn't hear a conversation in the next booth over. They were designed that way, so in these kind of private spaces. But what most people didn't know is that if you stood over by the waitress station where she would enter the orders and make up the bill, the acoustics were perfect. And she could hear everything. She could hear everything. And so on this particular Sunday, she was figuring it must have been a pretty hot day in church, because people came in and they were a little fired up. She could see in their hands this bulletin, so she already knew what the passage or the topic of the message was that day. The kingdom of God is at hand. She kind of wondered what that would mean, and so folks started coming pouring into the diner after the service was getting out, and she watched them and she listened in a little bit. There in the first booth was a guy by the name of Ted. She figured he was pretty new to the congregation because she'd only seen him once before. But she remembered him because the last time he was in, his friend didn't call him Ted, but called him JD. He had this big tattoo of Jack Daniel's whiskey on his arm. And she figured there was a story behind that. And she could see that as he came into the diner, he was kind of nervous. He not only had a bulletin in his hand, but he had one of those little booklets that said the four spiritual laws. And he was coming in and meeting somebody that was already sitting in the booth waiting for him. Meredith watched as he sat down. She could tell he was a little rattled. She just knew. Waitresses know these things over the years. And she could see that he had not only the bulletin, but the little booklet, the Four Spiritual Laws tract, was underneath the table. She wondered, I think he's going to try to share his faith with his friend. Now, Meredith, of course, because she'd worked in the diner for many years on the Sunday shift, she had had a number of people try to win her to Christ. Most of the time, she found it tremendously annoying. So she thought, this is going to be fun. So she sat back to watch the show a little bit. And sure enough, Ted was nervous. What he really wanted to tell his friend John, an old buddy from a long, long time ago, was that he had now been sober for 8 days. And this was the longest he'd ever been clean. And he knew it was because of Jesus that his life was changing. He wanted his friend John to understand. He desperately wanted for John to know the same hope that he had found. Now that he had called out to God and found some strength and was starting to get connected to a church. But it turns out his friend John had an agenda of his own too. What's up, Ted? Think you're better than us? Haven't seen you around. You weren't at Wally's. Come on, JD. I mean, think of all the good times we've had together, all the shots we've done. You and I both know that people don't change. So, what are you trying to do? Meredith could see as the booklet that Ted had in his hands under the table, as he dropped it, put his hands on the table, and the conversation carried on. In the next booth over, it was a bit of a scene, actually. Tracy was there, and she was sitting in her regular booth with her regular friends, the four girlfriends that she would always have lunch with right after church. But boy, she was fired up. She was crying. They were hugging each other. The message, there was a song. He loves me. He loved Jesus. Yeah, how can it be? I just can't believe that God would love me that much. It just hit me. Just hit me. I love you guys. I had a big group hug. I love you guys. I love you too. just hugging. It was great. Felt so good. So they had this wonderful kind of moment together. And then after they hugged for a little bit, one of them said, "You know, when we were just hugging there, I just couldn't help but think of Liza, and I just wonder how she's doing." Well, that kind of turned Tracy's crank. That backstabbing, big mouth. Well, then she said something that was a little out of context there. I'm not going to entirely repeat. After what she did to me, and after what she said to me, and she said about me, there is no way I'm going to forget that. There's no way I can forgive that person. Way to rob my joy, buzzkill. Just sit down. So the four of them sat in silence. And the waitress Meredith came over. She said to them, "The usual?" "Yeah, the usual." In the next booth over was Pastor Taryn, the pastor of Apple Valley Community Church. He was there having lunch with his wife, Tanya. And you see that he was looking down at his phone, just reading messages on it. Tanya spoke first. "That was a good message today, honey. I know you really put a lot of work into that, and you really put your heart into it." "Huh?" he said. He wasn't really listening. He was scrolling through the emails of the last morning. "Can you believe there's like, I've got 3 emails here from people that say that the music in church is too loud. I've got 4 emails from people that are saying that the songs are dead and we need to turn it up more. I got this one guy who just keeps telling me I need to preach more political sermons. And right after that, there's a message from a family that says, "I'm being too political, we're leaving." Got 3 people that say they want more stories, and 2 that say there's too many stories. 3 that say, "I need to dress up more." And 4 that say, "I'm too formal." And there's nobody here that's writing to say, "I love God, I love people, and I really want our church to thrive." And I haven't seen a single email from anybody that says, "I'm praying for you, Pastor." "I pray for you," said his wife, Tanya. But he couldn't hear it. He was scrolling through the messages. So, after a few moments, as they sat in relative silence, Meredith came up to the booth and said, "The usual?" "Yeah, the usual," said Taryn. But in the next booth over was Taylor. She sat by herself. She had her Bible open. And actually, the message notes from the day, she was reading through the passage again and looking up the discussion questions, and she was giving it some thought. It'd been a really, really hard year, she thought. After the affair and her marriage collapsed, she went through about the worst time in her life. It's horrible waking up in the morning alone. It's horrible. The kids aren't there all the time anymore. The house was just so stinking quiet. But there as she sat with the Word, she prayed. She said, "Lord, sometimes I have a hard time believing it, but I really do believe that you love me. And Lord, sometimes I have a hard time believe in it, but I really do believe that you've got a good plan for my life. And so, Lord, would you show me what I should do? She sat there for a moment. Then she got up and she did something a little bit unusual. She walked over to the booth where Pastor Taryn was sitting. She said, "Hey, Pastor, just wanted you to know that God used your words to touch my heart today. And I'm going to do my best to try to apply it. So thanks." She walked over to Tracy and her friends in the booth, and she said, "You know, I've seen you around church before, and we haven't really got a chance to know each other yet. But I'd like to. I think I'd like you if I did. Do you mind if I sit with you?" And so that's when Taylor sat down with Tracy and her friends, and they started talking about what the Lord was doing in their life and what he was teaching them. And as Taylor did that and got in the habit of doing that week after week after week after week, a funny thing happened. You see, if you could fast forward to a year later in that same Greasy Spoon diner, there were another 30 people there. Just because of that one unusual act, repeated again and again and again. And, well, at Apple Valley Community Church, there were 100 new people in the congregation. People who had found hope, and people who had found Christ. Including, much to her surprise, Meredith. We're in the second week, or I should say the third week, of our Lenten series. Looking at how Jesus prepares his disciples for ministry. Even as we prepare ourselves for Easter. Looked at the first week, how Jesus calls his disciples. And the second week, last week, how the first step of discipleship is to watch Jesus at work. And just wonder at who he is and be aware that there's nobody like Jesus at all. And this week, I want us to look at the second step of discipleship. Jesus does this all the time as he's preparing us for ministry. It's both in the parable we're looking at and the story behind the parable that we're looking at. And it's simply this, that we need to learn from Jesus. We need to learn from Jesus. There are things that Jesus has to teach us in our lives that on our own, we can't do it. We on our own are not enough. We need Christ in our life. We need his word in our life. So I'm here to challenge you a little bit about how God's word is a regular part of your life. Because we see in this parable some of the barriers that we have to God's word. So I want to just to talk through them just a little bit. In case you didn't figure it out, the story was parallel to the... Did you figure that out? Okay, good. So we're on the same team here? Okay, good. All right, okay. So let's talk about some of the common barriers for us of experiencing God's word in our life. Well, you'll talk about that in a minute. Let's pull that down from the screen just so we don't distract the nice folks here, John. Thank you. So let's talk about those. As Jesus is talking to his disciples and explaining the story, he says what sometimes happens is people hear God's word, but then the devil takes it away from them, snatches it away. Some of us have been snatched. You've had your word snatched. And you know that. Because some of us, we believe lies about ourselves. Now, in that first booth, what was Ted believing that was a lie about himself? That he couldn't change. So some of us, we have got loops running in our head that don't come from the Lord. You cannot change. You are a disappointment, and you have always been a disappointment. Don't you dare think that God could use you. You are such a screw-up. Some of you have even at times in your life believed that the world would be better off without you. You need to know very clearly. Can I see your eyes? You need to know very clearly that that is not God's truth. Some of us have had the word snatched out of our hearts. So don't let the devil snatch it. Don't let the devil snatch it. In the second booth. Similar to the rocky soil. That woman Tracy. See, there are times in our life. There are areas in our life where we just say, God, you can't go there. You can't go there. Areas that we withhold from God. Places that the roots cannot grow. Now, for Tracy, what was the area that she wouldn't let God touch?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness can be a mighty strong rock. So whether that's forgiveness, whether that's no, God, I'm not going to give. Some of us are stingy, and that's a rock. We're just not going to. God needs to break. Some of us we've got a favorite sin. You're like. Some of us are like, okay, God, I love you and everything, but you do not have access to my sex life. There are rocks. There are rocks in our lives. And God wants to remove those rocks because he loves us. And by the way, we can ask him for help. Are there areas in your life that if you're just being honest, you're saying, God, I love you and I know you love me, but you can't go there. You don't get to go there. That's a rock. God wants to move it. God wants to move your rocks. Jesus tells a story about how one of the barriers to us really growing are sometimes the seed is planted, but there's thorns, right? And they come up and they choke the plant. They choke what God is doing and what he's been looking to grow in your life. That third booth. How is Pastor Taryn getting choked? He was getting worried. He was so worried about what everybody else was saying, what everybody else was thinking, that it robbed him of his joy. By the way, every now and again I get to preach to myself. But you need to know this. You need to know this. The more responsibility you will have, the more critics you will acquire. You can't stop a critic from being critical, but you can. You do have control over whether or not it chokes you. The more responsible you are, the more responsibilities you will be given. And the more worries, the more potential for worry there will be in your life. It does not have to choke you. Turn to somebody you care and say, I am praying that you don't choke. You don't have to choke. You don't have to choke. I'm praying that you don't choke. Because God wants our lives to be fruitful. That was that final booth. I want to talk about a couple of things that are true about soil that can bear, that can be fruitful. Soil that God's word can grow in. Now, for a seed to take root in soil, the soil needs to be broken. Sometimes we get broken by life. But it doesn't always have to be that way. We can also be broken much in the same way like a farmer. Or some of you are getting ready to plant a garden, right? You got your hoe ready to go. Because you got to break up the soil for the seed to take root. Same thing in our own hearts. We can say, God, I recognize my need for you. We do that on a regular basis. I hope you do, because we need God every day. We only have one shot at this life. Why wouldn't we want it to be as fruitful as God would want it to be? Our lives could be a blessing to the people around us, that as we get to the end of our life, we could know, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to waste the drop, do you? So God, break my life open, that your word could get rooted in my life and in my heart and be fruitful to the world around me. Something else is generally true about soil in which things grow. Microbes. Evan taught me that. His mama's a master gardener. Microbes. Little worms, too. There is life underneath the dirt. How's your inner life? How's your inner life? How's your soul? That we pay attention to the stirrings of the Spirit in our hearts. That the part of you that only you and God can see, that's a part that matters. Are you angry? Are you sad? Are you disappointed? Your inner life, it matters. Because God calls us to lives of fruitfulness. And when he does, and I don't know if you picked up on this, but in the parable, okay, one of the wow moments is this promise that when God's word takes root, that the fruit that results from that, 30, 60, or 100-fold what was planted, okay? Now, I'm not a farmer, but that seems like that's a lot. Anybody have any investments? You don't need to put your hand up. Do you have any investments anywhere? If you made a 30-time return on your investment, would you say that's a good investment? How about a 60-time return? How about a 100-times return on your investment? That's a good investment. God thinks that you're a good investment. He's willing to risk his word on you. He provides the seed. He provides the seed. We provide the soil. So that invitation is extended to every man, woman, and child. Come, follow me. His love extends to every person. But we have soil. How's your soil? How's your soil? Are you in God's word? Is your heart open to God's working in your life? I want to take just a moment. Now I can put some, thank you. Very good. Pictures up on, or the questions up on the screen. Take a minute or two. Talk to somebody next to you, maybe in front of you or behind you, for a minute or two on these questions. What are some barriers to people growing in their faith? You're smart. You've got ideas. And what can you imagine, or what might a fruitful life look like? Take just a moment or two and talk about that. Then I'm going to lead us in a little prayer exercise, okay?